Accession number 12716, Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 6.
Mr. J. Coughlin, Reel 6. The ATAC section was made up, as you say, four guns and four crews.
That's right.
And you're saying that you were particularly headstrong bunch.
Well, they were all daredevils. Fight anybody, tackle anything. Good at sport, good at soldiering, good at being smart on parade. You know what I mean? We could loss a lot of those platoons off and battalions, you know, companies off. As for smartness and brains and all. And we didn't care for nobody. Nobody frightened nobody, no matter who they were.
So what kind of sergeant could control you?
Well, you wanted a sergeant that understood us. A lot of them didn't understand us. See, they wanted to be... See, we were too wild and tried to make lambs of us. You know, they couldn't. We wanted a bloke that would muck in with us, you know, and try to do the same, be on the same stamp. We didn't want one that was afraid of the officer. You got a lot of sergeants afraid of the CO, afraid of the officer. Well, we didn't care nothing. If we did time, clink, or anything, we weren't bothered. Boy, you used to help each other. Do you understand what I mean?
Did you do much?
Oh, I did quite a bit.
What kind of scrapes did you get into?
Oh, fight anybody, you know. Just if we didn't feel like we didn't want to do it, we wouldn't do it. You understand what I mean? We were a bit headstrong. We're not doing that. You can do it, you know. The sergeant started on one, he had to start on the lot. So you understand what I mean? He couldn't say, well, I'll put you in. We all go then. We're all for one and one for, you know, understand what I mean? We all seem to be in one mind.
Must have been a pretty unique section.
We were. Everybody said so. Like, you know, we're very good. Like, we're very good because we're all mates. We had our differences, like anything, but we never had, you know, we protect each other. If one got into scrap, the other one would be there. It didn't matter who it was, we you know. Or we weren't one of these that would squeal on a man, you know. We'd always, well, whatever happened, if he was in, we would all volunteer to go with him, anyhow. You tend to be a sergeant that understood us. Well, you couldn't get one that understood us because the sergeants that come, they're all, show me, more the 30s and 40s, you know, older men than us, and we wanted a younger man like us, which understood us, as we say, because, well, when we finished duties, we like to go out and enjoy ourselves. And we didn't like to be controlled and under the thumb all the time. When we were free, we liked to be free. Not get your button fastened up, get your cap on, you know, one of them type of signs. Every time you patch you, do this and do that. No, once we were free and did what we had to do, we liked to go out, and that's the way we were. We wouldn't do it. If we do, he was in for a good hiding.
Who was the best sergeant that you did have?
Well, I don't know. There was not many good ones we had at that. There wasn't not many good ones I had, like, you know. That I can recall. I had 1, 2, 3, 4. I had about 5 or 6 sergeants that I know of. We had one of the lads that come up with us and all. He, as soon as he got his promotion, he turned a little bit, like, you know. Well, I quite agree with him, like, to keep it, because, see, you can't serve two, but you've got to serve either the officers or the men, so you've got to either be one or the other. And he was right, like, you know. He died, like, I think. Harry Blomspenny, I forget what to call him now. He was all right, like, he was a bit soft, and he used to come drinking with us, like, that's what we wanted. The sergeant, you know, to come and mix with us, like, but, see, you get a lot of sergeants, they're with the men all day, and then they go and think of the sergeant's mess, and they like a sergeant to come and have a drink with you on a night to get to know you better. Well, none of them ever did with us, you understand what I mean? If they come and get their talk, there was not a bit of... Did they get to know us better then? And did they get to know our attitude and know which way to treat us, I used to say. But we never got any sergeant that would come with us. too wild, he says. Sorry, Sergeant, all day shouting at you and bawling at you and everything, you know, well, you took notice of him, but you didn't, as you say, you didn't want to be pampered with Mr. Bowden night. When your duties were finished, you let you go out and enjoy yourselves. And we didn't like this time of coming back at 9 o'clock and do this and do that. No. We'll come back when we're ready, you understand what I mean? We were just strolling back, well, it didn't used to, well, it didn't go down well anyhow, it was nasty. We were in the wrong a lot of times, mind. I don't say it was our fault we were in the wrong a lot of times. Oh, definitely we were in the wrong. But not, didn't do any harm, you understand what I mean? We were in the wrong, not by fighting or being nasty or anything, just by enjoying ourselves. Forget the time, you know, we just trail back. It's supposed to be in camp with that way. Then we're on a charge, aren't we? Well, the sergeants couldn't put you on, and we didn't get yourself back, yourself very popular, which was his duties, like. But a lot of it could have, you know, and went either way. But the
were you tolerated a great deal because you were good soldiers?
We weren't bullies, let's put it that way. We were good time lads, but we weren't bullies. There was none of us bullies. We never took advantage of anybody. Not that I know of, and I wouldn't, well, I mind myself, I wouldn't allow it. I never took that advantage of anybody. I didn't try and take advantage of anybody, you know, that was, you know, disadvantage, you know, the disadvantage of myself. I never took advantage of anybody. No.
You must have had changes in your officers, of course, since Dunkirk.
Well, we had a good RSM. He understood us. That was the only man that understood, and that was Mr. Page. RSM Page. Great bloke. Great man. He understood us, and he thought the world of us. He used to say, anything don't get the ACAC. Get the ACAC. And it was RSM. I remember him once, up in, what was that? And I kicked the football, and he hit him on the head while he was shaving. I said, oh, this is it. Next one, the thing, I'll kick his bloody head off. You know what I mean? One of them type. Right. Any other sergeant major, I said, stayed on the charge, you know. It was accidentally, but some of them don't, you know. And he was pretty good. I'll never forget that. He was a great bloke. Page, Sergeant Major Page.
Where did he come from?
Crook. He was a regular, like, he'd be a PSI before the war, and then he got made RSM. Like, the RSM got took prisoner in France, like the other one, and he got made RSM, and he was one of the nicest RSMs I've ever known. He was a great bloke.
What about officers, then? You were getting changes in your officers.
Why, I had a lot of strangers, but I had one there, Redway. Oh, dear me. Ah, dear me. If ever a man should have been, every man was just, he wasn't fit to be a private. He wasn't fit to be a private. He'd get lost everywhere you went. He'd get lost in the telephone box. He should never have been an officer to my, you know. And you could talk to him. We'll tell you. Oh, I could tell you some tales about him. I'll tell you later on any other thing about him. Good bloke. But he hadn't a clue of the army, you know, and he seemed to never learn. You understand what I mean? He never got any better, you know, after being in. Even when he got made, he was a second lieutenant when he came, then he got made lieutenant, then he got made a captain, and he never seemed to get any wiser.
Was he your ACAC commander?
Yeah, he was an anti-tank commander. Anti-tank. They used to call him Punk. Punk Redway. Kirby was my commander then, my company commander then. He was in charge anti-tank. Conrad Co. anti-tank was Major Kirby. Well, it was Captain then, Kirby.
Did you go into the anti-tank whilst you were in England?
Well, they didn't. No. They did away with their ACAC, see, because it's obsolete, and put us on anti-tank guns. This is all of us went on anti-tank guns then.
See. So you're still in Devon?
Yeah.
And you did now move back where you were reorganised and fully equipped.
Yeah, yes. So yeah.
What kind of training were you doing now?
I was to do a lot of cross-country running. A lot of crossing, a lot of parading and schemes. We went down onto Exmoors and doing schemes, night schemes, you know, and attacking and, you know, all the routine. We used to go out for 2 days or 2 nights down into on Exmoors. From Devon, like, we weren't far from Exmoor, like, you know, so go down there and all round by there every day we were doing some kind of a skiing. We did a lot, and we used to do a lot of cross country running to keep us, mind, it was all country there, around there, like, mate, it was some lovely runs, like. and it's an old rifle, and just the same, more or less. We didn't do any what you call desert warfare, because you couldn't, like, you know what I mean? It was all just the same routine.
Did you get involved with training with other units in your schemes and so forth?
They're supposed to get in real well. All that's what we all did. We went as a division and went as a battalion, didn't we? Like, as attacking, as it was, as I say. We were the Reds, they were the Whites, or something like that. Now we had artillery, like, they were firing these dummies, like, with a crack, you know, and that. And then we had machine gun fire with the dummy bullets and that and everything, you know.
Did you get any training with working with the RAF?
None that I know. We never had any training with the RAF. We've got plenty of training with the artillery, you know, putting barrages down, and we were going for it, like, in the creeping barrage and that.
Tanks? Did you get involved with tanks at all?
No.
Any tank training?
No, never involved in any tanks. Only time we were involved in tanks was, you know, later on. We had none.
At Ofcombe, things would be easier for you. How were you accommodated there?
For what?
Well, how were you accommodated at Ofcombe? Where were you living?
Well, in a big mansion, Grantlands. They call it Grantlands. Oh, it had a blue, which about, this was headquarters, like, you know. Some was at Clompton, some was somewhere else, you know, all around, within about 2 or 3 miles of each other, in villages, all the companies. Oh, it was a big mansion. Oh, big green on the, big ground on the front and all. Wasn't much of a long way from it, like, you know. And we was asleep, and there was big rooms. We all slept on the floor, you know, on beds and that. Well, not beds, just on the floor. It was all wooden floors, like, nice and warm.
Did you have palliasts to sleep on?
No, we hadn't on the floor. We slept on the floor, just on a ground sheet and or a blanket down. There was a lot of rooms. Ooh, it was a big, they call it the Grantlands. It was a big, being like a big, some big estate or something, a house, a big, oh, it was a big size, what a size it was. A lot of rooms, upstairs and downstairs, you know. We were downstairs in the front. Bit of window as big as this in the front, in the front of the room we were in, big as that wall, a bit of the window, big bare window, you know.
Had the food improved?
Oh, naturally, we're inside, say, yes, oh, hi, naturally, they had cook, say, they had kitchens there, you know, big kitchens, so they were able to cook something. Because you only know in the field, they can't cook much in the field, where there's facilities to wash anything and cut anything, and it has to be tin stuff, hasn't it? They can't put a table there and start cutting cabbages up and everything, but see, in a house, you have every facilities, haven't you, like, you know, for hot water and cold water. Well, you know, and out in the field, you have to carry it from wherever, anyway, again, or the water cart, get it off the water cart. And it's not hygienic, is it?
And the toiletry situation, was that better?
Oh, well, naturally, oh, yes, oh, them were. I still had the buckets, like. Because you couldn't accommodate anything. We still had the buckets. Still had your sanitary men come round, you know, with the buckets, like. Well, what they used to do was to lift a manhole. And do you see there, they could do it then, when in the prayer there. They used to lift a manhole and pour it down the manhole, do you see? And swill it away with a hose pipe. Well, they could do there, that was all right. Well, sometimes, if we got near the manhole, they had to put a lavatory over top of the manhole. You understand what I mean? So it went straight down, as they say. But otherwise, in the field, like, well, just a trench sometimes. And then they used to just toss lime in, you know what I mean, dig it about 3 foot deep, like, or something like that. And what we went to fill it in, like, slime it all and fill it in, like, when the...
At Grantlands, were you able to get baths and
well,
water?
Well, we organised. There was baths in some of the town then. It was organised for a bath then. Could organise, you know, a bath parade or something like that, whatever it is, aye. Oh, aye. Well, there was the river right against it, you know, like, it was warm weather, so we had no worries there, like, you know. That's the trouble in the army, is keeping clean. See, because a lot of blokes got scabies, you know, and you get this itch with that. Your blankets, well, you don't get your blankets washed, it starts itching, you know, and scratching. Once you start scratching it, you break the skin, you know yourself. And scabies is a nasty thing, you know, and they all got, what you might as well say, crabs and all that, they all got that, you know, we're not being able to wash the cells and clean the cells. You get all kinds of bloody, you got lice and all, you got the odd lice, you didn't get so many, like, you know, but you did get an odd lice or two, which had an inspection, you used to feel a bit heavy, think you had to shave yourself, you know, to keep, that's where they used to get them underneath the oxters, you know, or anything was odd, you get a few lice, I've seen a few lice, like, you know, which couldn't be avoidable. Not because you were dirty, just because you had no facilities to keep yourself clean. A lot of blokes used to shave themselves in the cup of tea. They used to get a pot of tea and just leave a drop of tea and shave themselves with hot tea, see? In the bottom of the tea, all tea leaves over your face and you're shaving yourself. I've done that, I do that. Yeah. Sometimes I would have a bath with a shave brush, a cup of water, and just wash yourself out with a shave brush. Toss yourself a bit of water over then. Just a shave brush in a cup of water and you sweat yourself and rub yourself all over underneath your joints here and there, you know, all right. Not your hair, because you couldn't do it, you had enough water, and just to keep yourself clean.
But this was better at Grantland's, you were...
We're all right there, because, we're baths there. But we still never got our blankets washed. See, they didn't used to give fresh blankets, that's what you see. There was no laundry for such a blankets. And you know yourself, you have to, when you're on guard or anything, you're allowed, you have to sleep in your clothes. Be ready for action. Well, somebody used to have the boots on, they'd pull the blue, well, muck on the blankets, wouldn't they? Like, naturally, you couldn't do no doubt about it, could you? So, some of the blankets were damp and all, you'd never be able to dry them, you know, never got them dried. Sometimes they were damp. That's what you used to do. And you get yourself itchy then, you used to get itchy, and you start scrapping, and that was the start of it. Scabies is a nasty thing.
Did you see more of the civilians in Ufcombe in that area?
Oh, I was very friendly with a lot of people there. Oh, bloody hell. On the weekend, there was never nobody in the barracks. There were 11 that went less than that was on duty, you know. Oh, aye. The bugle used to blow it at the thing. He used to say, get away up the town. He's always blowing it down here, up the village, you know what I mean. They all had, you know, like every bloody battalion, they all had girlfriends and that. And that's a lot of one or two of them got wed there, mad that wed them for, we learnt, like, you know.
What kind of things were you doing for your leisure?
Well, I used to go party, those dances organised, you know, organised dances up in the village hall and that, and concerts and one thing another. We used to give a concert or two and all, you know, for one or two concerts and that on for the civilians just to be invited, like, you know. A good community, you know, we got very well. I got to know a lot of people there. A lot of two of the lads got wed there. But as I said again, we weren't there long enough. We're just more or less waiting to go abroad again, you know, getting keep fit and sort. There again, sorting us out again. They were reinforcing us with taking the oldest people out and putting the younguns, fetching younguns in, like, and getting made up with officers and one thing and another, you know, getting established.
Did you see much German air activity coming over whilst you were on the beach and in Devon?
Oh, I saw them coming over, but they never touched, you know, they never on the air raids and that. You could see them at night every time we could see all the bloody searchlights going up, like, but they never touched us. Well, they couldn't see where we're at, like, couldn't they? Like, they don't know what they were doing. They might be dropping them in the sea. They'd have to bang on the targets, wouldn't they? Like, very. And there was no lights and anything, like, so they could only go by the clocks, like, or the drones, or the whatever it is on the planes, couldn't they? Like, I don't think it was worth the while, was it? It isn't us, they want the installations, they want to knock out as bombers. That's the idea of bombing, isn't it? Knock the installations to stop the ammunition dumps and one thing and another. So I had no trouble, I never had any bombing. Man, I've been bombed like a few times. I've had bombed when I was going back, Bristol I think it was. I got bombed there to jump off the train. Good job we got off, it blew the train up, you know.
Had you any opportunity to go on leave?
Oh, I went on leave, yeah. Oh, I was supposed to get a leave when we went to France, but we didn't get one, you know, on the journey. But when we come back, we're at Ufcombe, I got a leave. When we come off the beach, there's nobody while on the beach has got a leave.
You said that your mother had been informed that you were missing, presumably prisoner, and yet you'd never got a leave then, that sent you straight down south.
Well, see, there was that much of a mix-up. Trying to find where everybody was. See, when you were going to... There was artillery, there was sailors, there was... every kind of bloody regiment you could think of at that camp. And they were trying to find out and sort out. Well, it had to take a lot of, you know, to find communications, like, you know. Oh, it was a problem. And there was other camps and all, like, trying to find, you know, trying to find where the regiment was established.
So how long had you been down the south when you did get your leave?
I didn't get my leave till Ufcombe, about 5 or 6 months, I would say.
And how many days did you get?
10 days.
And when you got home, how were you received?
Oh, well, you can understand, like, I was received, really, hell, but I never went back anyhow. I overstayed my leave.
You stayed over?
Oh, I said I'm not going back at home with that a few pounds. See, all them time we're on that, we had money credit to our credit. Well, when you come on, you can draw your credits, do you see? Well, I drew my credits. Well, 10 days wasn't enough what I wanted to spend it in, so I didn't go back. My mother says the police are at the front door. My father says, I'll guard the back door. I went through the window. They got me, man. I intended going back. Oh, I intended going, but I just wasn't ready for going back. I thought, to my, you know, I was enjoying myself. And
so how many extra days did you do of your leave? How many extra days did you get?
About a week.
And the police came for you?
Oh, naturally the police came for me.
What was the process then?
They take you down to the guardhouse and they put you on a train under guard, like, and take you back to your regiment. But you get what you call a royal warrant. You pay for all their fares and you lost all your pay. You pay for it all. Because it's there, the army makes you pay. But I think I was on two above a week pay, that's all. I lost all my pay, see. For so many weeks you lost your pay. And you have to pay for the escort.
And they brought you all the way back to Devon?
Oh, aye, they take it all the way back, aye. Well, the Red Caps do. They change you from one, you know, from one station to another. The Red Caps hand you over onto that train, until you get to your destination, and your own RPs come and pick you up and take you to the guard room. You know, so
what was their attitude with you? Was it aggressive in any way?
No, aggressive. No, they know it was happening every day. They were doing this every day, not just one day. It was happening all every day, you know. It was routine to them, you know. Some of them were clever. But when you tell them your experience of being abroad, they were very good, like, you understand what I mean? Huh? They'd never been abroad, like, you know. Some of them were very clever. And others was just the opposite. Sometimes they'd send you, if you're near, they'd send you your own RPs for you, you know. If you're in jail, they'd send a wagon or a thing and put you, or a van, or, you know, a pickup to pick you up and take you back to jail, you know, your own RPs.
When you got back to your own battalion, what happened to you then?
Put in the clink. I did time. I did ship mullet, I think, for that.
What was that like?
Rough. But it was an old civilian, being a civilian, condemned, you know. You had a cell. You had no light in your hole. It was there was a little wind and a gas light shone through it, see, so you couldn't put it on or switch it on yourself for your gas yourself. You understand what I mean? And it was double with everything. You had to double. Everything you did, double. If you had a shower, double. If you went into it, it was out. And you just have to run around with a rifle atop of your head like that, and you used to shout, change! Well, you'd put your hand up, you couldn't get the hand down. It was stiff, you know what I mean? Then you just lost a day's remission if you didn't. And that was all PT, you know, every morning, but you have to give you some mama. And you were locked in your cells late at night, like, anyway, just like a civilian jail.
Were they brutal or aggressive to you?
Big man?
Were they brutal or
aggressive? Oh, very brutal. Well, they weren't brutal, but very strict. You had to turn your head to the wall. If you were soon, you turn your head to the wall, don't look round, stand there till I'm shouting, you know, that type of a thing. Some of them were all right, and some were very well. They weren't allowed to bitch you, like, you know, but they were nasty, very nasty. Sure, the authority, that's all. Oh, as soon as you went through the door, like, stand the wall, face to the wall. Double. And you had no choice of grub. You used to go to the coke house, you know. You used to put your taties with the jackets on and a big lump of boiled rice on top of that and a mace on top of that. Oh, took it back to your cell. Oh, I couldn't eat it in there for 2 days. I ate it at the finish line. There's no sugar in the rice and out, just half cooked. And all your bread was weighed with a piece of cheese and your butter for your tea at night, or your jam. All weighed. Everything was weighed. You couldn't, you know. And strict, oh dear me. And you were in your cells at 6 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock at night. Some of them had employed jobs, like those long, you know, old timers and that. See, and then again, I went in, where did I go? No, all the shot.
This is another one.
Ah, I've been in one or two.
What did you go into Aldershot for? Was this why you're still
same living? Again, not coming back off leave. The RSM, well, the adjutant told me, hey, come back, Cogler. Says, I might be thinking, don't come back. He said, we'll take care of you when you come back. He did do. Them's the very words he said to me. So I went in there and...
How was that different in any way from the one you were been in before?
Well, I'd rather went in shorts than the ship. Well, it was a more modern, it was an army one, like more freedom, you know, more... That was old-fashioned and, it was like a dungeon, some of them, you know. I was in the clique abroad two or three times.
So Aldershot was more modern, as you say. Did it? Was it still the same routine?
Oh, naturally the same routine. See, there he went in again. He says to me, went on parade like, and he says, right, rifles. Anybody been in clique before? Small packs, them that haven't. Them has been in before double packs. So I said, oh, I hadn't been before, but he come and tapped me on the shoulder to the staff. Big pack. You've been before. I said, oh, he's have look record. They love to go around and look record. And if he went in first time, he had a small pack for first timers. Second timers, learn your lesson. You understand what I mean? For running round.
What had you in your packs to?
Everything. Full pack. What you were doing, a full marching order. Full marching order, what you call full marching order.
And then you raced round the...
Raced round the bloody yard, racing. Sometimes they took you just outside there in the field and race you round there. Up a hill, down a hill, up a hill.
What happened if you collapsed or
fell? Well, there was pretty. There was a first aid man come and just took you away, took you to the doctor. If you were shaved, you know, they'd kick you straight out. You'd lost remission, what you call, you lost a day's remission or 2 days remission for faking, you know. Oh, aye. Oh, they're very strict. It didn't run like it, just run like an ordinary. Well, I think they're more strict than the army, they were in civilians, yeah. And it wasn't just for devilment, I did it.
What time did your day start then in these prisons? What time would your day start for the...
Half past six o'clock. You would have to clean yourselves out and your things out. And you had buckets and then you had to pee in them and everything, your pores and everything. And you used to go down the corridor, get a razor blade, doesn't matter which razor you got, you'd got a rare razor. And you took it off as soon as you shaved. Yet then you're allowed no ties, no belts in the cells. Stop you wranging yourself, you understand what I mean? And no razors. Used to get a razor, used to go down there, the staff was stand. Shave, used to get it. One of them just out of a book, and then it didn't razor blade. Oh, you know, cut yourself. Oh, just say haircut, so you had to go down and get your haircut, you know, no matter what you wanted. If he says cut, you had to have it cut. Very strict. And double, it just detrimental to your health, I have to say. Because you used to get your dinner, sometimes you had to double, where you could feel it jumping up and down. At the finish, I think they got it stopped after a meal, allowed half an hour, you know, for it to digest. Because I think a lot complained they were sick after, you know, right after a meal, starting out doing it, which is natural, isn't it, like?
So then there was a great deal of PT, and this doubling around. What else were you doing in the prison?
There was games, and there was concerts, and, you know, and lectures. Well, you could sit in your cell, there's a library, you go down in the library, there's a big community centre, like down the cell, you can go and raid there, you could go and raid there. But you were locked in your cell at night, till maybe 6 o'clock at night or 6 o'clock the next morning. See. Oh, it used to be a long time.
Was there much time given to reading or...
You could get a book and read in the cell, but you like you used to go out at 9 o'clock, come and switch the lamp off, the staff sergeant, the sergeant, just switch it off. So there's no light shining through into your cell, so you couldn't read, you had to go to sleep, you understand what I mean? And if you were three or four in a cell, and you got a man that was a bad sort, dear man. You know what I mean? It was snoring or thing. It was unpleasant. Well, that was the idea, it was the punishment. It was the punishment.
The sleeping arrangements, how did you sleep?
On just wooden boards, like a bed. No, there was no mattress. Just like a blanket, like, you know, your blankets and that. That no sheets or anything or anything. A pillow, like. Some of them had pads. Just depends what punishment you were on, because there was all different kinds of punishment. Oh, right, they had all different kinds.
What kinds would they have? You know, why would persons get different kinds of punishment?
Because some of them wouldn't work, wouldn't do it. Were obstinate, being obstinate.
So what might happen to them?
Well, they lost all the remission. Suppose you've got 28 days, you might get 6 days remission, you know. You would only do 22 days.
You were told this at the start, were you?
Oh, yes, you're allowed that at the start. If you're good, you'll get your remission will stand. But if you're bad, you get a day knocked off or 2 days, or get the lot knocked off. Well, when you lost that, the only way they could punish you was being... when you lost your remission, they'll punish you by losing your remission. Well, when you've lost that, They had to take more serious steps and punish her other ways then.
And how did they do that?
Well, heavier duties and heavier things. And have you, well, everybody was members of leisure, and they'd have you outside doing extra PT, extra factor, extra summer, extra, you know, to punish you. Anything to punish you. And they were just laughing at you. Just march back again. Go up there again. Run round there again. Do that again. All those would, you know, be what you call your half-hour leisure. You know, you would be always on duty. Always doing something. When you went in that cell on a night, they just flopped. You understand what I mean?
What about uniform? Did you have to keep that clean to a high degree?
Well,
did you have a special prison garb?
No, we just had the same uniforms. Like, we very rarely needed a coat on because we were always bloody in running around. You understand what I mean? We never had a tunic on or anything. So you had your boots on, like, of course, like, but you had your sand shoes on the morning, like, for your PT and that, but we're never what you call dressed.
Did you have to keep your boots highly polished?
Oh, I definitely had to keep everything clean. Everything spick and span. All your cell had to be spick and span. You had an inspection every morning in your cell. See, everything was, you know, according to the thing. If the bucket wasn't right or the bowl wasn't right, get that out and get it scrubbed again. You know what I mean? It was hygienic to their standards, you know, to what facilities we had. It was hygienic to what facilities you had. Oh, you weren't allowed, you know, any smell or anything like that. So had all this hygienic, bloody domestic things and that.
Domestics?
Domestics and one thing and another for killing any disease or anything. Oh.